Turn to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Certainly appreciate each one here this morning. Well, I thought about the song that Brother Bud led and even the words he said of how studying through those church letters that the last ones Laodicea in church age. And I don't believe there's anybody, I've never heard anybody deny that we are the Laodicean church age. And that is the last one. After that, you have things that are going to happen hereafter. And so, are you ready? Will you be ready then? Will you be ready then? The Lord called today, He called us home, would you be ready? The Lord decided to that today was the day that we would hear that shout from heaven. We heard the trumpet sound. Would you be ready, or would you be left behind to face some of that hereafter? Just be honest, when you leave chapter 3 of the book of Revelation, you through with the church basically until you get over chapter 19 where there's a wedding ceremony and the church is presented. But in between chapter 3 and chapter 19, you have a lot of woes. You have a lot of troubles. You have tribulation. You have a man of sin. You have all sorts of vials of God's wrath being unleashed upon this earth. And that's awaiting the person that's not ready. But of course, for those that are, we get going to be with the Lord. We get to spend that honeymoon period in heaven while tribulation is going on here on this earth. So I trust you're ready. If you're not, I pray that you will be ready and those preparations be made this morning. Let us bow. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the pleasure and honor to be here today. what a privilege it is to be able to come in with your people and worship you. And even more than us being here, the thought of you being here with us to bless us with your presence. And Lord, as we assemble together hearts, that you would lead us by your sweet spirit and your word. And I pray that we could be obedient in every way. If there's one that's lost, I pray that they could hear and they could have ears to hear, and they would have a heart that a desire within that they would want salvation. And I pray that you would help them to get that message clear. And I pray, Lord, that you would help them even to have the very faith they need to trust you. Lord, we pray that you'd bless the church, even as we on this side of a revival meeting. I pray that revival wouldn't end, but that it would just be beginning, that we could see great things accomplished here at Mars Hill. We could all be more encouraged and have a greater zeal to do your will, and the lost would see a need to be saved. And they would have a hunger, a thirst for your salvation, because it seems like we're living in a day and time where people are hungry, thirsty for everything but you. I pray, Lord, that you would remove whatever might be their hindrance, and I pray that they would be willing to trust you. Bless this country, our leaders. Bless Brother Roger, Brother Daniels. They go out to other churches to preach. We pray you bless their ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In a day when the keeper of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the street when the sound of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Now, we'll just read one of these first seven verses here this morning. I know this is all familiar reading to you that read your Bible, and even seem like we preached from it not too long ago. But we have here the natural cause of death. That'd be old age. That's the natural cause of death. There are many ways that death comes upon us, but one thing is sure, and that is death. Death comes whether we like it or not. It comes whether we ever talk about it or not, whether we ever think about it or not. You may take the thought of death and put it as far from your mind as you can get it. That doesn't change the fact that we have an appointment with death. That appointment has been set by God. It's not an appointment that you're going to call and get it changed. It's not an appointment that you're going to be able to avoid some kind of in some fashion. You have an appointment with death. And I heard a preacher say one time that coffins come in all different sizes. That always stuck with me. That's a harsh thing as you think about it. You think, well, death is so cruel. God knows what he's doing. You know, we look at death from one point of view. He looks at it from another. And certainly you have young people that go on to be with the Lord. You have those that die in their teens. You have those that die in their 20s, 30s, 40s. And yet we read here of the natural cause of death, old age, and how that death, the body wears out. Whenever we read about the grinders cease because they're few, I believe he's speaking about the teeth and how that the teeth, they wear out and they fall out. We try to replace them with other types of teeth and try to do the best we can to get by, but there's no change in that. It happens. Our very best efforts that we make. And certainly there's a lot of efforts being made not to get old. And people, you know, buy creams and they buy vitamins and they go to the gym and they do everything they can do to keep from getting old. It really don't change a lot. You are going to get old if the Lord allows you to live. You're going to get old. And he talks about the windows being darkened. I believe he's talking about the eyes there and how they get dim. And we can't see like we once did. And we all experience that at some point in our life. The eyes don't work like they used to. He talks about how the young man and his strength and how that he begins to stoop over. You know, you think about how beautiful it is to be young and to have that strength to be able to go. And I hear people say all the time, I wish I was your age. Older men will tell me now, I wish I was your age. Boy, I could do a lot when I was your age. Oh, that's changing for me too. And I know you might say, well, you got a ways to go. And some here, you could say that. You got a ways to go, but it's coming. And you enjoy that strength and you enjoy being able to get up and do and to go and we call it burning the candle at both ends and just working real hard and enjoying being able to go and don't have those aches and pains and all. And then all of a sudden one day you get up and there's an ache there, the pain there, there's a trouble there. And as you move on a few years later, you begin to see that all that back. You get up and you have to stretch a little bit and it cracks and it pops and you might have a hip begin to make some noise, might have some knees begin to hurt and make noise whenever you walk and all that. Well, body just wears out. We begin to stoop over and I see men that used to be once strong and proud men and you see them a few years later and they basically looking down at their feet. Everywhere they go, they walk and they stooped over. It comes, don't it? Old age comes along and it takes that strength and it takes those young abilities and we're left with a wore out body. I'm thankful God says we get a new body. He's going to fix all that. He's going to give us a new body fashioned like His own. And we got that to look forward to. But He says here that because old age does come on and because death is sure and that He says that then shall the dust return to earth as it was and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Because of that, He gives us a little warning in there. He said, man goeth to his long home. I want you to consider that this morning. Man goeth to his long home. Death is certain. The body's going to wear out. If you don't meet death before you get old, then you're going to get old, you're going to wear out, and one day it'll be your funeral. Man goeth to his long home. John 3:16, I believe everybody in the building, you'd be familiar with John 3:16, probably could quote it. But it speaks there of eternal life, everlasting life through trusting in Christ. Everlasting life. Mark in chapter 3, verse 29 speaks of everlasting or eternal damnation for those that blaspheme against the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? To blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. It's hard to wrap your mind around as you study it and you look at it. And we think about the long-suffering of God. Certainly He is. But I believe at least in that particular verse, as you study that word blaspheme, I believe what we see is a person that is spitefully, a person that reviles and spitefully rejects the Holy Spirit. Just pushes him away and pushes him away. And as the Lord would convict their heart, they deny him and do it with a spite about them. Just kind of push him away. And I don't want you and to reject the Holy Spirit. You know you can push the Lord until he won't be pushed no more. We don't often look at that because we get a little bit cringy. And whenever somebody speaks about that, go read about Pharaoh. Pharaoh hardened his heart against the Lord, and he hardened his heart against the Lord, and he hardened his heart against the Lord, and then you read where, and God hardened his heart for him. But I want us to stop and consider eternal life and eternal damnation. And I want us to consider, let's move beyond that. I want us to consider just simply eternal. Eternity. You know, eternity is a subject that we so vaguely comprehend. At best, we vaguely comprehend that. Eternity. We misrepresent eternity all the time. Brother Hollis, we talk about eternity in ways that really is deceptive. I'll be honest with you. You ever said this side of eternity? We need to work real hard this side of eternity. What are we speaking of eternity as? It's a destination. Eternity is not a destination. Eternity is an existence. It's not a destination. We think, well, this side of eternity, we're talking about this side of heaven. This side of death is what we're talking about. Oh, and yet eternity is, when we think of it, we think of that eternal home, that eternal heaven. And yet we say this side of eternity as if it's a destination we're going to arrive at. The moment Christ saved me, eternity began for me. Eternal life did. Eternity actually began before that, didn't it? For me. And for you. We say, oh my goodness, this job is going to take an eternity. Young people hear that. They form ideas about that. What does eternity mean? Eternity means a real long time. No. That's wrong. Eternity doesn't mean a real long time. Eternity, oh, this job is going to take 2 years. It's going to take an eternity. But in our mind, we understand if I work real hard and I don't get distracted and something don't come along, I am going to eventually finish this job. We say, boy, I signed my name. I signed my life away today. I signed a 30-year mortgage. Oh, it's going to take an eternity to get through that. You know how long that's going to take, Brother Brent? 30 years. It's going to take 30 years if you pay it the way you're supposed to. It's a 30-year mortgage. It's going to take 30 years. Not an eternity. Because, listen, an eternity is infinite. It's unending. It's, we speak of, what are we going to do when we take this? When we die, we take off this mortal body. And we're going to put on immortality. That never goes out of existence. It never ends. It's timeless. Eternity is, you know, a real long time. No, eternity is timeless. And just to stop and try to ponder that, it would take an eternity to describe it, and then you still wouldn't be through. Eternity. I could stand up here for the next 2 hours trying to describe it, and I wouldn't even scratch the surface. I could say 1,000,000 years. That's a long time. That's more time than we can comprehend, really. We could say 1,000,000 years is a drop of a bucket to eternity. And you know what I just done? I just misrepresented eternity. Because if every 1,000,000 years you put a drop into a bucket, eventually it would fill up with eternity it hadn't got started. Eternity has no conclusion. This long home that Solomon wrote to us, the Lord wrote to us through Solomon, this long home is eternal. Without end is timeless. Okay, now that we kind of got that established, the people that are saved in this building, you have made preparation for your long home to be with the Lord. Everlasting life. Eternal life. You made those preparations through trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so your long home is destined with God in glory in heaven. Wherever He is, there you'll be also. There we will be also. Eternal damnation. Look, that's the part we don't like to think about, and it's very seldom preached upon. And yet, those who are lost here this morning, you have never trusted Jesus as your Savior. You continue to go day after day, just kind of going through life, and yet you have not trusted in Christ. You're in danger of your long home being in eternal damnation. Eternal lake of fire, eternal outer darkness the Bible speaks about. If we just stop this morning and we reason together, what makes the most sense? If we just stop and consider what I've laid out this morning, are you going to die? Of course you are. I hope not today, tomorrow. I hope you get to live a nice long life. And if you do, you know what happened? You'll die of old age. But let's reason together where you want to spend your long home. Where you want that to be. Eternal life or eternal damnation? Heaven or hell? The lake of fire. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith gives us victory. Faith is how preparation is made. We overcome the world by faith in Christ. He goes on. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And is the Spirit. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is true. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. There are three that bear witness in earth: the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. These three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not that the record that God gave of his Son. Let me stop here. We'll continue reading in just a minute. There may be somebody here and you say, Brother Brad, I really and truly, if I was honest, I'm confused about salvation. I thought I got saved long ago. Brother Brad, I'm confused. I hope I got saved. Brother Brad, I had a preacher pray over me. Brother Brad, I was baptized years ago. Brother Brad, I had an experience one time sitting in church, and I just had a funny feeling that come over me, and I felt like maybe that's what salvation was. Maybe that was salvation, a funny feeling, what I had. An excited feeling, a zealous feeling. I've heard people describe it, I had a Jesus moment. And I'm kind of confused. I hear what you're saying, and I'm just kind of confused about that. Let me tell you something about being confused. God is not the author of confusion. Be confused, it's not God that's confusing. And it's not His Word that's confusing. The devil has you hindered. Now, there's people that are saved that are confused, and they wonder about being, maybe I didn't really get saved. The devil's good. What he does. The devil's good at confusing people. The devil can make somebody wonder and question things. So let's reason together and let's don't deal with that, because if you are confused and you're lost and you're long home, is an eternal damnation. You say, but a preacher talked to me. Let me tell you something Jesus mentioned to some religious leaders, teachers one time. He said, you'll compass earth and sea. I'm not going to get these words exactly right. But you'll compass earth and sea to make one proselyte. When you do, you make them twofold child of hell. In other words, you'll go all over the world trying to convert somebody to your religion. And when you do, you make them twice as confused as they were. If somebody confused you, they're going to have to answer for that. But you don't. You don't have to answer for that. God can help you not be confused this morning. Well, how does He help us, Brother Brad? I just read it to you. He that believeth in Christ hath the witness within himself. What does that mean? That means God's Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That means if you are saved, that you have His Holy Spirit that will bear witness with your spirit, will prove to you you are saved. Okay? So, how does He do that? How does He bear witness? Show me I'm saved. If you will sincerely this morning, if you're confused about salvation, if you will sincerely go to the Lord, and you'll lay it all out before Him, Lord, I am confused. And I'm talking sincerely. I'm not telling you words to say. I'm telling you to go before the Lord in sincerity and get real with God and let Him know you are confused. And then in your heart, trust Him to either show you you're lost or show you that you're saved, and be willing to accept either one. If I'm lost, I want to know the truth. If I'm saved, I want to know the truth and be settled and be planted upon the Word and have confidence. You know what God's Spirit will do for you? His Holy Spirit will take you back to your birthplace. Back where you turned to the Lord. That's repentance. You turned to the Lord and you trusted in Christ. Or He'll take you back to some experience and show you that that's not faith in Christ. It's you'll go back to where you got baptized, because there was four or five other people in the church got baptized at that time. He'll take you back to a place where you had this fuzzy feeling come over you because things might have got a little emotional in the church service. But you understand that you did not trust Christ at that time. God will not leave you in confusion, but you have to be willing to accept Him and not your own ideas. Get self out of the way and just trust God. Whichever way you show me, that's what I'm going to believe. He said, Brother Brad, do you think that'll work? Listen to what he just said. If you believe the witness of men, the witness of God is greater than that. I believe with all my heart I was born in Eglin, Florida, August 23rd, 1978, and I believe that Peggy O'Neill is my mother, and Richard O'Neill is my father. I believe that with all my heart. I've got a piece of paper that tells me that. And I've got a mama and a daddy that can go back and tell me their experience. I can't remember it. They can. God said His witness that you got saved is greater than that. So if you're confused, let God help you this morning. All right, I told you I was going to preach on eternity, and I've got sidetracked this morning. But look, preparation for your long home is necessary. Absolutely necessary. Believe the gospel. Believe the Son of God. Believe He is your personal Savior, and your long home is with Him in heaven. But now, believe not, and you're condemned unto eternal damnation unless God gives you another opportunity, unless you come to your senses and you trust Jesus. Eternity in heaven, timeless. Timeless immortality with God, with Christ, with your loved ones that have gone on to be with the Lord. We sing about, that'll be a glad reunion day. Glad day. Wonderful day. We sing that. It's not going to be a reunion day with your loved ones that have gone on to be with the Lord if your long home is in a different place. No more tears. No more pain. No more suffering. No more evil. No more sin. No more even having to pray. No more even having to have faith, Brother Bud. Can you imagine that? A day where I no longer have faith is obsolete. Because it'll be sight. I'm looking forward to that. On the other hand, eternal damnation. Separation from God. Loved ones. Gnashing of teeth. Weeping. Outer darkness. Pain, agony, heartache. I'm not trying to play on anybody's emotions this morning. I'm trying to set the truth out for you so that you can reason within your own heart. Both are without end. Both. This damnation was created for the devil and his angels. You don't have any business going there. But it has enlarged itself for those who will step over the blood of Christ. For those who will deny Jesus. For those that whenever God comes knocking on your heart's door and said, "Let me in," you said, "No, not today." What is John 3:16? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Everlasting. All right, two verses below that. Verse 18, I believe it is. He says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he believeth not in the name of the only begotten Son." John 3:16 is so beautiful because it shows us the door. John 3:18 says, "If you don't believe, you're already condemned." So, Brother Brad, I don't choose to go to hell. Look, I'm just not going to make a decision. It's already been made for you. Because you was born a sinner. You go into a long home, dear friend. Heaven or hell. Eternal life or eternal damnation. There's no in between. Brother Brad, you cannot believe that the lake of fire is really that bad. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I can. I can believe it because God said it. A rich man lifted his eyes there, 2,000 or 4,000 or 6, however many thousand years ago it was. It was 2,000 when Jesus told the story thereabout. And he spoke of a time earlier. And this rich man, the moment he lifted his eyes in hell, he was in torment. And he longed for a drop of water. He still longed for that drop of water today. He begged for mercy. He couldn't receive any. And so he said, "Okay, well, if I can't have mercy personally, then how about my family? Could you send somebody back from the dead, go talk to my family so that they will not come into this horrible place. They won't come in to this place of torment. I don't even want my brothers to come here. It's not going to be a place where people are going to want to congregate and have a good time. It's a place of torment." He wanted that thousands of years ago. He still wants it today. It's a place where the worm dieth not. What does that mean? The worm dieth not. Let me just tell you what I believe it means. Somebody might set me straight on it. I believe it means it's a place where a soul can experience torment and yet not be consumed for eternity. Mercy does not exist in this place. So, Brother Brad, I thought God was long-suffering and merciful. Look at Calvary. Don't look at hell to try to find mercy. Don't look there. Don't step over the blood of Christ looking for mercy in a place called hell. That is eternal damnation. Don't look there. You look at what Jesus did. You look at how God's allowed you to sit in His church service this morning, hear His holy word, hear a preacher give an attempt to give you His message, and sit with people that love you and pray for you and want you to be saved. That's where mercy can be found, at His throne. Brother Brad, do you think this is right that God does us this way? I'm going to tell you what, God does not do anything to you. He allows. He allows. Whosoever will, you know what that shows? That shows free will for mankind. He gives every one of us a choice. He wants you, it's not His will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. He wants you to repent and trust Him. But He will allow you to walk away. He will allow you He will allow you to go to hell. He will allow you to spend eternity in a lake of fire. And I believe it's righteous judgment that God allows unbelievers to choose to step over the blood of His Son in order to get there. But I tell you what you're going to have to do if you're in your loss. You are going to have to step over the blood of Christ to get there. You can trust Jesus right now. You can make your preparation right now if you want to, if you're willing to. Now, to hear a message like this, you say, well, that's mighty harsh. And Brother Brad, you up there hellfire and brimstone in this morning. I want to close with this. God loves you. Christ loves you. And He does not want you to go to hell. He wants your long home to be with Him. Christ died so that His people could be with Him forever. And He wants you to be part of that crowd. He loves you. He died for you, but He wants you to make the decision, to make the choice, to be willing to believe in Him. Last verse on.